Okay, our lesson this morning is out of Psalm 13, 1-6. Responding well to the wear of prolonged exposure to ungodly oppression. The difficulty in facing prolonged exposure to oppressors is the wear that they can have on the inner man. David addressed this difficulty with God's solution in Psalm 13, and we view it for our edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into his word. Father, we thank you for Christ. Thank you for the Word of God, for the indwelling Spirit of God who clarifies to us the truth and equips us to live a life that is righteous in dependence upon him. We ask, Father, for wisdom today to comprehend the truth that is found here in your Word and to use it. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'll read it, the Psalm in the King James Version. And then we'll look at it. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Okay, the Hebrew text at Psalm 13 has the introductory remarks found in the English translations as verse 1, but it combines verses 5 and 6 found in the English Bible into a single verse 6. So to avoid confusion with this lesson, we will stay with the numbering system of the English Bible. Incidentally, sometimes when you get into passages like in Jeremiah or Isaiah, the numbering system will be off 10 or even 15 verses, and it creates real complications when people are trying to translate from one to the other. But I'm always going to stay with the English translation, so you have the numbering system there that you know what to work with, and we'll stay with that. So accordingly, translate Psalm 13, 1-6 as enumerated in the English Bible as follows. First of all, verse 1, how long, O Yahweh, will you forget me forever, perpetually? It's a Hebrew word, nesah. How long will you conceal your face from me? Now, the face here, we believe, is an expression of God's blessing. You remember in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, where the high priest was supposed to give his benediction. He would say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. So the references here to the Lord's face and so forth, they're reference to that high priestly benediction. And that benediction was very important to the people because that signaled the Lord's blessing them as people. So how long is he going to conceal his face, or how long is he going to conceal his expression of blessing or favor from me? Verse 2, how long must I take counsels? Now this is what is known as onomatopoeia, because you have an interesting arrangement of words that sound alike. In Hebrew it's asit asot. And we would say, how long must I do or make and counsels? From the Hebrew word asa is to do and to make, and isa. Is counsel, but the plural of counsels in the make is asit asot. How long must I asit asot in my nefesh? And that means his spiritual seat of life, his mental, emotional, spiritual seat of life. And what he's talking about is how long must I brainstorm how to efface the oppressors? So when you're facing oppression from a party, it bothers you, and so you brainstorm in your mind, how in the world am I going to deal with this? I try this? No, I better not do that. I try that? No, I can't do that. And so you keep brainstorming as to how you're going to respond to this. And that's what David was going through at this particular time. How long will my hostile foe, this is the Hebrew word ayab, which means for a foe who's particularly hostile, has a hostile intent. How long will my hostile foe be exalted over me? And then show regard, Hebrew word nabat, for me, O Yahweh, my Elohim. Yahweh is the word covenant Lord. that was used. It's the I Am name for God that God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. And Elohim is the word that is used in Genesis 1 as the creator. We would say, Lord, my God. But this is Elohim. This is Yahweh, my Elohim. Okay, where are we here? Okay, lighten my eyes. And lighten, once again, is a reference to the Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26, encouragement of God's blessing. Thy face to shine upon me, shiners to illumine me. So once again, he's talking about the blessing of the Lord. He senses that he's lacking God's blessing at this time. Lest I sleep the sleep of death. David was concerned that if the wear that his enemy was continuing to put on him was to go unchecked, that eventually he would die. And that's true. You can get so depressed and so afflicted, eventually you just shrivel up and you can die actually an early death. Lest my hostile foe, that's the Hebrew word ayab again, lest my hostile foe say, I have prevailed over, yakol him. And lest my vexing adversary, this is a change from ayab to sar, lest my vexing adversary rejoice when I totter or I am shaken or I slip. So the adversary has gone from one who is hostile foe now to a vexing adversary, someone who's beginning to get under his skin and bother him and affect his health and everything else. But I, and the I here is emphatic, it's a pronoun that's written separate from the verb in front of it, but I myself, we would translate now, fully rely on bata, your loyal love. The Hebrew word bata has a cognate in the Arabic. And in the Arabic, it means to lay flat down on your face, extended. And that's as much trust as you possibly can have in an object, is to lay flat down on that surface. And that's what batak means. Otherwise, David would have used a different word. But he says, for I myself, I fully rely on your loyal love. Chesed is always used in the Hebrew Old Testament for what we would term as the word grace. God's loyalty to himself and his love combined with it. My heart will rejoice, and this is what is known as a prophetic purpose. My heart will rejoice, Gil again, in your deliverance. Now, when he says, I fully rely on, that happens to be what is known as an instantaneous perfect. You have two tenses in Hebrew. You have a perfect tense, which talks about punctiliar action. You also have imperfect, which talks about linear action in a process. This is punctiliar action, but he's talking about right now, I've made the decision, I'm going to rely on the Lord. That's what the instantaneous perfect is. My heart will rejoice in your deliverance. And then he sums up, this is very interesting, verse 6, I will sing unto Yahweh, for he has recompensed, that's to pay back, he has dealt fully, or he has dealt bountifully with me. Even though there are just six verses in this psalm, there's a tremendous amount of information and application for us. David's obvious concern in this psalm was the very long time of suffering that he faced from a hostile foe and the wear it produced on his inner man, seen in his repeat use of the question, how long? And the switch from hostile foe, ayab in verse 2 and 4a, to vexing adversary, or sar in verse 4b. David expressed the sinful attitude of one who suffers with a lack of faith when he asked God, or he asked why God had forgotten him in perpetuity and why God was concealing his blessing, his favor from him. False statements typical of the believer who is weak under trial and who so struggles to view God as good or upright. Thus, extensive oppression can bring out the expression of our sinful nature, so we must handle oppressors by God's unmerited favor, his grace alone, instead of human effort. The cure was for David fully to rely on God's grace, his loyal love, his chesed. The great contrast between David's former grief and heart and his weariness with his final rejoicing and singing of God's fully delivering and recompensing him in the situation reveals God's ability to renew the inner man, though it has suffered significant wear and intense trials over a long period of time. In Psalm 23:3, David said, you restoreth my soul. The word soul there is nephesh, my emotional, my mental, my physical even, the spiritual part of the human being. God has a capacity to restore that. So it's a wonderful truth. Well, since God, the Holy Spirit, produced this psalm through David, we know this from 2 Peter 1:20 to 21, where holy men of God were carried along by the Holy Spirit to write scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is God-breathed, or it's created by God. We know that God is sensitive to the wear that prolonged oppression produces on his people. So the believer needs to follow 1 Peter 4:19 in this manner, trusting God knows the effect of the suffering on his creatures, so as to let the Creator God deal with the harmful effects of oppressors on his created beings. That's a tremendous verse. 1 Peter 4:19. The Apostle Peter wrote, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls, psuche, unto him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." There's a story that was told of a woman, I believe it was in China, who had been heavily persecuted by the communist government. In fact, they so heavily persecuted her, physically persecuting her, that she actually lost her mind and affected her mind, to the point where when she would walk around, her head was just constantly down like this. But they said even then, when a Christian would come by and greet her in the name of the Lord, her face would light up, her head would lift up, and very briefly smile, a great big smile, and then it would drop again because of the destruction that had occurred on the brain. And it was an embarrassment to the communists because they couldn't understand how a person like that, who had limited mental capacity because of the torture that she'd been under, could still respond to the name of Christ or the greeting from Christ with the lifting up of the smile in the head and then dropping it again. It shows the tremendous power of God. This, God was still protecting that woman's spirit, even though her mind had been completely shot with the torture that was occurred. I don't know if they used electrical currents or whatnot. There was a lot of torture that went on. So God knows what going, he's created his beings, his creatures, and he knows the limitations that they have. And what we need to do is to rely upon him for that. Now, number two, the ability and willingness of God to refresh a victim of prolonged oppression so that he can sing and rejoice emotionally in appreciation of the Lord's bountiful resolution to the problem is a testimony of God's power and greatness. The believer must thus trust God to be bigger than the prolonged oppression and its oppressors. He must also fully rely on, that's the Hebrew word batach again, God's faithfulness to himself. The loyal love and hesed pictures God's unmerited favor, his grace that is totally independent of human merit. Instead of relying on any supposed goodness in himself to enjoy God's deliverance and renewal of his inner man from such trials. The reason is when we undergo intense trials, there's a tremendous tendency for those trials to surface the reaction of the sinful nature. Unfortunately, that's often what happens when we get under pressure or when we get afflicted from the oppressor. The tendency is to react, and we're reacting to the sin nature. So what we have to do is rely utterly on God and God's grace and God's goodness to himself. We can't rely on our goodness. We don't have the innate goodness within us. Suffering is a very tricky time, the very dangerous time in the believer's walk with the Lord, because it has a tendency to surface what's deep inside, and the wrong thing can surface, the sin nature can surface. So what we really need to do, if at any time, is to rely on the grace, the unmerited favor of God, and let him deal with this. Let him respond. But it takes a choice. Like David there in verse 5, "But I myself now..." This is an instantaneous perfect. "I now make the decision fully to rely upon the Lord." That's how we have to handle it, by relying on Christ and his grace, and he will deal with that. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the lesson. It doesn't have to be. If there's something else, then we'll seek.